Blog Talk Radio.
Show live and direct on Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications, and today is February the 5th of 2014. Praise God. We have made it a long way. Do you remember we were just celebrating a whole new year, and here we are in the wonderful month of February. Praise God. And I pray that this evening finds you truly. And if you think you're not, I'm about to tell you, you are, because you have many things that most people would do anything to have. Amen. So Don't look at what you don't have, but look at what you do have and be truly thankful. The Lord has said to be content with where you are and what you're at. And so you need to be content because you need to look in deep, 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 deep into what you have and what others would really want. Amen. Praise God. Let's get stuff started out. We have a wonderful show today. We have an amazing guest by the name of Jay Hurt, and he's going to discuss some relationship things. He's just helping us to wind down our Christian dating, and he's also going ahead, and he's going to be bringing us closer to the family and relationships and marriage and things like that so we can get some advice from him. He's an amazing relationship coach, a family man, and just a wonderful person in God's eyes. Amen. And he's going to come on and help us out tonight, and we're going to be able to give you some more information about how you can connect with him if you need to speak with him once you're finished off air, or he has some reading material. He has a book out. He's got all kinds of wonderful things, so we'll let him tell you a little bit about it. But we also have some new music to promote and put out there. But we're going to start things off before we even go into prayer. We're going to start because our theme that we are building up this month is love. And this is Carrie Ann Johnson and Amazing Love.
I glorify you, God. I lift you up, for there is none like you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Who am I that I'm blessed and highly favored? Who am I? Does the wrath of God consume not? Who am I? Does the God of earth and glory waited patiently? Nothing good have I done, but because of His love, not because of my love, but because of His love. God, Your love is so amazing, Jesus. But because
and I don't deserve it. You know, we serve a good God because, as she says in the song, we don't deserve it. But he said to come as you are. And so we come humbly to his throne of grace and mercy, and he never turns his back on us. He always accepts us. He'll always keep us, and he'll never forsake us. Praise God. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing of the day. We thank you for continuing to be with us and stay with us and continue to keep your hands upon us, even though most of us don't deserve it. But you are God, and you are God all by yourself. And because of the love that you have for us, we can yet say we are blessed. Father, as we go forth this evening, we ask that you would join us and guide us and keep us and be ever present. We would ask that you take over this show, Father God, and have your way this evening, Father. We ask that you would touch lives. You would encourage people. You would lift burdens. You would heal the brokenhearted. You would comfort the mourners. You would deliver those who need deliverance. Father God, in the name of Jesus, the same Father who said that you would even give us our heart's desires, we ask that you seek and find within us all that needs to be fixed, to be melted, to molded. And Father God, we ask that you use us and create us to be who you need us to be. And Father, we just give thanks. We thank you for our guest that is going to be appearing this evening. We thank you for the wonderful musicians who have been gifted by you, Father God, that we can share their passion in song just for you, Father, with the rest of the world. Father God, those who are within listening ear, we ask that you bless them, those who are listening now and those who will listen later on, that you continue to lift them up, encourage them, uphold them. And Father, we ask that you always continue to supply our every need. And Father God, may we be humble enough to know that you are always ahead of us and before us, and we look to you and we walk with you as we follow Jesus. So guide us now, and we go forth again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I am excited. We have a wonderful show today, and we have a wonderful month coming up. We have so many wonderful things taking place. We are not only focusing on romance and love and relationships this month, but we are love. I thought was so ironic that it also falls in the same month, Valentine's Day and Black History Month. We have to learn to love one another. And the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is the greatest of all those commandments. So I say right now, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you don't love yourself, well, it's going to be hard to love your neighbor. So it begins from within. Amen? And so I say you need to be who you need to be and focus on the Lord and how he works in your life so you can continue to grow. But right now, let us seek and prepare for this exciting show that we have ahead. And so right now we would like to surrender all. And this is Reuben Studdard, and I Surrender All. Did anybody hear him sing his new song, Unconditional Love, last night? I heard that, and it's a lovely song. We're going to get our hands on that and make sure we share it with you. And I believe this is coming up from his new album. The song was called Unconditional Love, and it was on The Biggest Loser last night. Amazing show. These people transformed like you wouldn't believe. This is I Surrender All by Reuben Studdard.
Surrender all to him. else I'd rather do with my life. Lord, I'll serve you every day, even when things don't go my way. Lord, you can trust me to never stray.
I surrender all. You know, to actually start something new, you have to have a start from scratch. And that's what we want to do. We're going to start from scratch, and we're going to rebuild who we are so we can actually be the people that the Lord wants us to. You know, if you are a hard stone, the Lord can't mold you. But if you make yourself in a way that he can shape you, then things will work out so much better. Praise God. How's everybody doing this evening? I hope you're all well. I'm excited about some of the new stuff that we have. We've got some wonderful, wonderful music from Livingston Pretorius, and we'll be playing that later on. And an old, dear, dear friend of ours, he's going to be on the show next week, and I'm so excited. You remember Jermaine Cowan and the Rhythm Kings, and we interviewed him in the summer. We were able to see him perform live in Windsor, Ontario, and he's been running around doing lots of stuff, and rumor has it he has a new album coming out, and he's been dropping some selections. That's the only word I could think of, because that's what they are. They are awesome, and I think it's wonderful. And so we got our hands on his new one, and we're going to be promoting also on his YouTube channel. So when you get a chance later, you're going to be able to check out during the week Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications on Facebook, and it'll give you a wonderful opportunity to click on a link and start liking some of our brother stuff, and certainly get to enjoy it and encourage him as he continues to grow and prosper in the Lord. Amen. And we get to speak with him next week. And next week we have Dave Brown on the show. And he's got that wonderful, wonderful Songs of Inspiration and Love coming up this on Valentine's Day weekend. I know you're all going to enjoy it. It's kind of intimate and really nice, and it's going to be amazing. He's a phenomenal musician, and so I know you will very much enjoy that. Amen. So, moving things right along, we want to go ahead. This is the time when we check out everybody who's had a birthday. Now, Hollywood has been quite busy these days. I'm not one who sits down and spends my time criticizing or even discussing Hollywood. But I know the Grammys took place, and, well, I have to say it was kind of special. I'm saying that with the tongue-in-cheek and as much sarcasm as I can muster, because they decided they wanted to do some things to prove a point or to make a statement. I don't know what they were doing, but, you know, we're going to learn about relationships today. Real relationships, the one that the Lord has called us to do and to be, and how to create families. Amen. Praise God. And we need to continue to be patient with those who may not see things the way we see things. And we can't, unfortunately, we can't lash out too harshly, because we're supposed to have the love of Jesus. So we continue to pray and lift everyone up who may have lost their way. Amen. Because Jesus loves us all equally and daily. Praise God. Now, speaking about love, we love to do birthday shout-outs. We are just so happy and excited that it's your birthday. If I had a horn, I would da-da-da-da, and I'd blow my trumpet just to announce your birthday. Praise God. So, If you've had a birthday, well, we want to say happy, 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 blessed birthday from Rouse Ministries Broadcations and myself, Pastor J. Rouse, praise God. And if you've had an anniversary you're celebrating, I myself personally, I started something wonderful this week, and I'm excited, and I know that God will be in the midst, and God brought me to it, and he'll certainly keep me in it. Praise God. And I just want to say a shout-out to my coworkers because they are just so wonderful, and I feel so blessed to be a part of their team. Praise God. And anyone else who's celebrating anything special, well, we definitely want to celebrate with you. I was hearing someone else talking about a 100th birthday for some relative of theirs. You know, God has a way of just keeping us going. Amen. He not only keeps us going, but he keeps us strong. And, well, I've got to admit, a lot of us age so gracefully because we have nothing but the Lord glowing in and all around us. Praise God. But once again, though, those who have had babies, I heard some more little ones came into the world. Praise God. But just remember, train them up in the way that they should go. And when they are older, they shall not depart from it. Amen. And we also have to teach them because a lot of young people aren't being raised the way they need to. And I believe Scripture tells me, and if I say it wrong, well, you need to email me at PastorJRouseShow@gmail.com. or Rouse Ministries Broadcasting at gmail.com. But the Bible says to honor thy mother and thy father so your days will be long upon the earth. Amen. And I know, thank God, I'm still here because I made sure I honored my mother and my father. Hallelujah. All right. But in the meantime, we're really excited for you. We're just happy that you have accomplished another year, that you've accomplished some amazing things, and that you would continue to be blessed in the Lord. Amen. And we're just so happy and want to share with you. And that being said, well, we always have to do the birthday thing, so we're going to have to do that. So for all of you, anniversary, birthdays, graduate, accomplishments, all of that wonderful stuff from myself and all of us, we want to take this time to tell you happy birthday. This is to you. Happy, 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 blessed birthday. Congratulations. Kudos to you. Yee-hoo! And all of that good stuff. Praise God. Now we're going to get to our international events and happenings because there's so much stuff going on. But before we do that, we're going to listen to Marvin Thompson Jr., who also has an upcoming concert, and we're going to tell you about that right after this song called Gifted.
Don't be so good. You're only there because you're needed.
Now we have our international. I hope you get your pen and paper because we have so much going on, so much talent, so much joy. And, you know, it's wonderful because people need to know what they can do. Christians don't just go to church. We don't just go to conference. We have fun. Praise God. Now, in June, just so you know what's coming up, in June, in Rhineland Falls in Germany, okay, we have a gospel explosion concert taking place, and it's Catch the Remnant, okay? You want to check out the poster, and it is $20 in advance and $25 at the door. More particulars are on our Facebook page at Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications, or you can check out their website, www.gospelexplosion.j4ministry.org. Amen. So you want to check that out in Germany. Praise God. We have all kinds of stuff happening. Now, Valentine's Day weekend is coming up next week, and we know it's almost impossible to access anything or to go anywhere. But there are wonderful things taking place. Now, over in the UK, there's an amazing production taking place, and it's a play. We have a YouTube video you can watch, but it's called Life Begins, okay? And they're having a Valentine's Day special also on this show, so you want to check it out. And it says, we are doing a specially arranged single Valentine's package to see Life Begins, a play about Christian singleness, a good mixture of laughs and tugs at the heartstrings, followed by a light meal at the Broadway Theater. Now, this is Embarking, okay? Check it out on our Facebook page. And it's produced and presented by SBG Productions. Sounds like a really good play. Love to hear some more information about it. Also, February the 8th in Toronto, Sister Candace is having a casting call. Now, we're almost running out of days because you have to respond before February the 8th, 2014. And it's a casting call, an innovative and powerful gospel stage play written and directed by Candace Smith. It's a spinoff of Favor Ain't Fair, the stage play. It says that they're looking for, okay, male and female actors / singers and male actors ages 18 to 28. Now, to sign up for auditions or if you have any inquiries, you can email them at klifeprod. That's K-L-I-F-E. P-R-O-D at gmail.com. Now, only those who sign up can audition. So don't be sitting there thinking you're just going to show. No, it's not going to work like that. They've got to give you the particulars, and you have to have already signed up for the audition, okay? And that's by February 8th. So it's just a couple days away. It'll be all done. You don't want to miss this opportunity. February the 16th in West Palm Beach, Florida, is the Appreciation Day concert honoring Brother J.C. for 30 years of service. And that's by Pastor Tony Sider and the Sider Funeral Home. They're presenting this, an amazing concert. And for more information, you can contact 561-797-3500. And they'll be able to give you more particulars. The time of the concert is February the 16th, and it's at 3 o'clock p.m., and the location is Mount Calvary Full Gospel Baptist Church, and they're, I believe, on 36th Street, at 1111 36th Street, West Palm Beach, Florida. Okay? All right. Check it out. We've got it posted on our Facebook page at Rouse Ministry Broadcasting and Communications. February 21st, the days are moving in there, guys. Our buddies, the Soweto Gospel Choir, are coming to Toronto to the Sony Center for the Performing Arts. Now, if you need to reach the Sony Center, you can always check them out at sonycenter.ca or dial 1-855-872-SONY or 7669. Amen. And you want to try and see if they still have any of those early bird tickets for $49.50. Use the promo code EARLYB, that's E-A-R-L-Y-B, and then hopefully they'll still have them for that pricing. It's coming up, guys, so you don't want to miss out, February the 21st. Now, this is a little bit intimate information about one of our guests coming next week, Wednesday, and this is my buddy on February the 15th in the GTA Toronto region. We have Dave Brown, the gospel trumpet player. Love Songs and Inspiration Valentine's event. It's going to be so wonderful. And that's live at the Atrium inside of Global Kingdom Church at 1250 Markham Road. That's Saturday, February the 15th. Now, if you want a ticket, it's $20. If you need two tickets, it's only $35. It's going to be amazing. You want to check out some information, check out www.davebrown.ca, and you can even buy your tickets online. Or if you need more information, you can call 905-455-2231. Let me do that again. It's 905-455-2231. Praise God. It's going to be off the chain. All right. Moving right along. We also want to give a shout-out to our sponsors for our months of February and January because it's a promotion of love. So a shout out to Rani Health Spa in Barbados. And if you need to get facial, manicure, pedicure, nails, she does massages, soothes aching bodies, and detox, de-stress, rejuvenate, you name it, they do it. And if you need to reach them, they're at area code 246-8573. Make sure you tell them Pastor J. Benz for love. Praise God. And you don't want to miss out. If you need to get pictures taken or you need to connect up with someone who really wants to bring out the true beauty that lies within you because it begins from the inside out, you want to check out my girl, Ms. Jennifer, at JAG True Beauty. That's JAG True Beauty. You can check them out on the web, and you can also give them a call. We have a flyer on our Facebook page, praise God. And I even asked somebody, ask me about something like that. And, don't want to miss out. Give me one second here. All right, I'm even sending the information as we speak to somebody who had asked for it. So that's jagtruebeauty@gmail.com or www.jagtruebeauty.com. And I'm telling you, the pricing is phenomenal. It's not going to be what you expect. She's just an amazing woman, and they're awesome people. So check it out. Also, we want to give a shout-out to R&B Creation. My. When your hair to be done and it's not getting done and you need to do. Amen. And they are in Brampton. You want to check them out. And they're at 144 Kennedy Road South in Unit 4. That's Brampton, Ontario. Now, if it's a barbershop, you can reach them at 905-463-2155. And in the hair salon, 905-463-2156. Give them a shout. And, of course, you got to tell them Pastor Jay said hey. Also, we want to give a shout-out to our friends at the Wonderful Family Restaurant. The food is great, the music's wonderful, and the company's even better. At 1880 O'Connor Drive, North York, Ontario, area code 416-755-1446. Now, we said Marvin Thompson. That's my buddy. We just heard his music a minute ago. Awesome, awesome. Awesome guy with some wonderful sounds. He's going to be performing at Broad Street Heritage Concert at Broad Street Presbyterian Church in Detroit, Michigan, and that's February 23rd at 3:00 p.m. And I believe it's free. So you want to check it out. If you want some more information, get in touch with me. I can always get the info you need. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to keep moving along here because we want to get Jay Hurt on the line and we want to start relationship. What we need to learn or how to improve what we're doing and make sure we get it right. But in the meantime, why don't we listen to a new song that we have, and I'm excited. And this is my buddy. He's going to be on the show next week, and this is What is Love? Well, that's what we want to find out from Jay Hurt. This is Jermaine Cowan and What is Love?
What a wonderful world. Yeah. This one is for the grown-up sex, you know. Husband, grab your wife. Wife, hold your man close. They must have something to say. Listen.
Not a star in the sky could shine as bright as you. You. So when I close my eyes at night, all I see is you. It's you. Life without you, I couldn't take it. That's why I know God wouldn't make it without you. No matter what I say, you better know that you are the cream of the crop. You better hold your head high like you knew it was true. And I know in your heart you think you just made your part, but girl, it's all about you. You, 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 you. Oh girl, for so long my appreciation. Thank you for being patient with me and waiting to see me through. I love you, oh, oh. Not a star in the sky could shine as bright as you, you. So when I close my eyes at night, all I see is you. It's you. Life without you, I couldn't take it. That's why I know God wouldn't make it without you. Girl, I can't resist this feeling now. You bring this peace inside, and I can't deny the feeling of how you make me feel. Oh, babe, eternity, forevermore. Is love I see, is everything so real. Oh, girl, for so long, so long, to show my appreciation. Thank you for being patient with me and waiting to see me through. And I love you, baby. Not a star in the sky could shine as bright as you, you. So when I close my eyes at night, all I see is you. It's you. Life without you, I couldn't take it. That's why I know God wouldn't make it without you. Without you, without you. Oh, girl, for so long, I so show my appreciation. Thank you for being patient with me and waiting to see me through.
Amen. And that was Jermaine Cowan. And what is love? Well, what is love? There's some poets who would say love is a many splendored thing. And then, of course, there's agape love. That's the kind of unconditional love that the Lord has for us. And then there's puppy love. That's the kind of love that I used to think was so amusing when I was young and you thought you were so in love and you really didn't even know how to spell the word because you're still L-U-V, praise God. But that was Jermaine Cowan and What is Love? And you know what? I might be able to tell you a little bit more about the Lord's love, and I can tell you about Jesus' love, and I certainly can tell you that Jesus loves you, and so do I. But I have on the line Jay Hurt, and he's a relationship counselor, and he is a coach. Jay, are you there?
I am, Pastor Jay. Thank you for that great introduction.
Well, I'm only speaking the truth. So Jermaine Cowan is singing What is Love? What are your thoughts on what is love?
Wow, that's a great and many-tiered question. I actually wrote an article today about how we show love, and I think some of the things that we show in love are really such strong components of love that they really reflect the face of what love is. First of all, I think you mentioned initially, you talked about agape love and God's love, and I think we have to go back to that. God is love. So he's the ultimate,
yes.
He's our ultimate example, and he's the ultimate reflection of what we want to see in our personal relationships, also in our business relationships, every type of relationship we have. But I guess taking it a step broader, so to speak, I often talk about honor. And I think honor is really a lost component in our relationships. I think men should hold their women to a level of esteem above what we do these days. I can think back to my grandparents and the way that my grandfather treated my grandmother, whether it was simply opening a door or, you know, getting whatever she needed from the store or whatever it might have been. He always put her needs and her wants first and foremost in their relationship. So I took that honor from them. I saw what they were doing when I was growing up, and I looked at what other couples around me were doing, and they were doing different things, and that's one of the things that I really held on to, and I remembered when I started taking classes about relationships and that type of thing. You don't hear a lot of talk about honor, and that's just one of the most important things, and I think honor really is a true reflection of how we love one another and how we honor the roles and where we fit in our relationship. So that's one key component of love and how it all ties into our relationships.
And you're right, because it's more than twofold. It comes in many different degrees. But as you said,
right,
the basis and the structure and foundation of true love would come from that same agape love. All right. Now, as I told you, we have been discussing, and I have to do a shout-out to our sister Jackie Steele this evening, who she basically sat on and helped me co-host the show 2 weeks in a row, and we were talking about Christian dating. It's an article by another gentleman that we were reading on, and we talked about the 7 mistakes that single Christian men make in relationships. And then, of course, last week we did the 7 mistakes that single Christian women make. And I came across this phenomenal article, and it was written by yours truly, and I said, I have to bring him on here so he can talk a little bit more about his thoughts. And it really caught my attention. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off this evening to sort of close out our Christian dating. And one of the topics that really caught my eye was an article that you wrote called How Long is Too Long to Be Just Dating? So I don't think I really have an answer. I do know personally that some people will date forever, and then there's that woman who's sitting there going, okay, at some point this has to lead to at least an engagement date. So why don't we hear from the person who wrote the article, yourself, Jay Hurt? How long is too long? Just dating?
No. So Pastor Jay, interestingly, as you kind of brought that topic up, you really touched on an interesting point. So you said often in these relationships where someone's been dating and moving along, the woman starts to question, is this going to lead to marriage? So what happens often in these relationships is there's a lack of communication, and throughout that lack of communication between the man and the woman, the man has one expectation, the woman has another, and they're not congruent, and no one's talking about it. And by the time they do start talking about it, you know, we're at a, you know, we could be at 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, wherever we may be in the relationship, and then, you know, men, we're habitual commitment phobes, and we want to, so we have the mentality often. So if it's working, why you know, if it's not broken, why are we trying to fix it, right? So I think that as a relationship coach, one of the things that I've run into the most, the biggest challenge that I've met with the people that I've coached is that women get into these relationships and they don't communicate an expectation. And they don't set an expectation with the man, so there's discord to start with, right? So that challenge kind of permeates, like it's an undercurrent. It's like the white elephant in the room that everyone sees but no one wants to talk about. So it just kind of it really does. And as it permeates, as we go forward in the relationship, the woman's expectations don't change. And the man is like, hey, everything's working fine. He's not even, in a lot of cases, and I've been guilty of this before I went through the things I went through to get to where I am. I'm like, hey, everything is fine. You know, what are we doing? It's not even a consideration. So I think it really all goes back to communication. Communication is key to understand where we are and where we want to be and how we're going to get there.
Now, how would you bring it to that point? You kind of can't be dating somebody really happy. And I think, like you said, men have a way of getting comfortable in a state of where they are. So how does a woman even approach something like that? Because I think the old-fashioned type of girl is hoping that a man would bring it up or propose or whatever the case may be.
So I think it's important to realize that even in a very traditional relationship, we still want to set realistic expectations. So I mentioned in my article, one of my subtopics is dating is not forever. And I talk about people who...
Right.
In some cases, they have no interest in getting married. And I think if that's the case and you're dating someone and you can see that it's serious or it's becoming serious, I think that out of respect for that person, you need to let that person know, this is what my expectation is. I really don't want to get married. I'm enjoying the situation, but this isn't for me. And then you give them an opportunity to take that step, and they say, hey, you know, maybe this man isn't for me. Maybe this woman isn't for me. I should step back, move on, and find something better. Now, that's a small percentage of us. Most of us would at least like the opportunity to find real love, true love, and have the opportunity to get married. So for those of us in that situation, so you say, how does a woman approach that? I think you have to be open and honest. The ladies that I've coached in the past, it's almost like a cycle. They all go through these things over and over again, and they get into a relationship, and they're like, hey, I really enjoy this guy. He's a lot of fun. We're having a great time, but it's not going anywhere. And then, okay, 2 years down the road, I'd love to see where this is going, but nothing's changing. 4 years down the road, and I'll give you a couple of examples that I mentioned in that article. One young lady I know was dating someone, really enjoying his company. They were in their mid-20s. she really thought it was going somewhere. She talked to me about it way back then. I said, so how does he feel about it? Well, I think he feels like X. No, that's not my question to you. My question was, how does he feel about it? She kind of blew me off. 10 years later, they had 2 children.
10 years.
And they were living together, and they were no closer to being married than back when they were 23 and 24. So that's the challenge. You have to be willing to have those tough conversations and really find out where someone's mind is at. And once you do that, then you can proceed accordingly. I will say this. You don't have to necessarily ask someone blatantly, so are you going to propose within a year? Are you going to, you know, however you want to phrase it, but I think you do have to be very clear. So I intend for this relationship to become a marriage, and I have a timetable. What I'm looking for is that something that works for you.
Right.
So that's how
now
I think women should approach.
I'm gonna play a little bit of devil's advocate because I seem to enjoy it, but there are situations where you are dating, and I know some women will give a man an ultimatum, and that's the word I'm using. You notice why I use it, because it has more of a negative effect than a positive effect. Just like you said, because to me, if you're in a relationship, it should already be open to the point that you guys are already discussing everything and anything between each other, and that's where you know you're at the point where you can marry this person, because you can communicate with them about everything. And so the topic of marriage shouldn't really be an issue, because the relationship would flow into that, and if it's not coming up, then it's not going to be uncomfortable to discuss it. But let's just say you've got that typical female who says, okay, you know what? We've been dating for so long now. If we don't move this to the next step, I'm sorry, but I'm leaving.
Right.
What about the man who panics? He likes the way things are. He feels great with her. They enjoy themselves. They've never had an argument or a disagreement. They have a wonderful time together. But he doesn't want to lose her, but he's not ready to get married yet. And then he feels he's forced into getting married. How would you deal with something like that? Because there are guys out there who basically end up proposing and they're really not ready.
Right, and I have seen a few examples of that as well. So I'll actually use another part of this same article to talk about that, just talking about timetable. So I think it's important to understand where you are in your life and where you want to be. It's not so much of a I hear a lot of women use the term excuse me, my allergies are bothering me a bit. I hear ladies use the term biological clock. My biological clock is ticking. Well, I don't think it's really that we want to get into a biological clock issue. I think it's really getting into an issue of, okay, so I want to learn about you. I want to see where this is growing, where this is going to. And then at some point, even as a woman, although I don't necessarily make the call of who makes the proposal, I have to make a decision, because how much of your life are you going to invest in a situation that continues to drag along? So, true, you may have, for those of us who have put ourselves in a situation and didn't have the open communication up front, and we're now in a place where we have to offer somewhat of an ultimatum, I think you also have to be, you have to be in a place at peace with where you are and where you want to be. And if he wants to move forward and he hasn't taken the steps that you see that you need to move forward, that may be the time where you have to walk away. I don't think it's so much a point of pressuring him to get married if he's not ready. I see a lot of that on from time to time. I'll see a trailer or even catch a glimpse of reality TV which is just a whole nother topic for another evening. But you see women often that are trying to push a man to do something that he is clearly not ready to do and he's not positioned to do, because in a lot of ways he's either hasn't matured or he never even considered it. Whatever the case is, I know that if that was my daughter, I would want her to make a decision and then take that decision and move forward, because there's another man out there that God is preparing for her that will be ready to take those steps forward.
I like that. I really like that. That was really nice. And I think it's important, too, because my opinion is what is supposed to be will be. Even I've seen situations where she may give him that ultimatum, and she may say, you know what, I really don't see that this is going to go any further. I know I love you, you love me, but we can't keep it at this stage forever. I want to make a permanent commitment here. And so sometimes they break up, and that's when he starts to realize, what have I done? I've just lost the most wonderful thing in my life. And this sometimes is a wake-up call. And sometimes it puts him in that position where he actually finds out he truly is ready, because then he starts to think, it's not so much I can live with her, but now I can't live without her concept. But I believe that everything happens for a reason, and what is supposed to be will be. And if it didn't work out, then that's not who God had for you.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. Totally agree.
Now we're going to have a little bit of a break, and we're going to listen to some more of our new songs that we've got coming up. And then we're going to take the relationship to a next level. All right. Now, you're talking here, same article, it says, what is your timetable? So we're going to deal with some of this timetable issue right after we hear this wonderful song from Livingston Pretorius called Your Love.
From there, yeah.
Amen. And that was Livingston Pretorius from South Africa and Your Love. And we have the very wonderful and talented and gifted Jay Hurt, who is here live on the Pastor Jay Rouse Show, courtesy of Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. Praise God. Mr. Hurt.
Yes.
I think it's almost ironic that you're a relationship coach and your last name is Hurt, because I guess you don't want to cause anyone to hurt. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God. Now, we were dealing with how long is too long to be just dating. Now, in the same article, you say, what is your timetable? Can you expound on that, what you were talking about when you said, what is your timetable?
So, I think it's important for me to clarify here, actually something that you mentioned as we started the interview. I don't know that there's a set timetable for everyone. Everyone's timetable is different. I actually met a couple online that dated for, gosh, I think they dated for 11 years, and they got married after that. They didn't live together before marriage, and everything worked out just as they had planned. It was great for them. It was wonderful for them. They were both happy. Everything worked out great. by the same, on the other side of the token, I know a couple that literally dated for about 29 days and they got married, and everything worked out just fine. So I think there's no set, no specific timetable. But what I do think, what is really definite from the clients that I've worked with and the people that I've talked to, is that we have to respect our time and our desires. We have to step back and realize, okay, so we know what we want, whether we have communicated it or not. We know if we want to be married in 5 years. We know if we want to have children. We have an idea of where we want to go in our lives. So we know what we want. And if someone else doesn't respect our time, no one's going to do it for you. You have to respect your own time. And the thing that's the most precious on this earth is our time. That's the one thing we have we can't get back. So you have to respect your time. You have to be definitive about what you want. You have to be open and honest, and that all goes back to the communication factor. But your time is the one thing you can't get back. So if you give it away, it's really – that's really your challenge and your battle you have to fight. So
and
that's
it's
my
funny
perspective.
Because I think women tend to be a little bit more bitter about that than men, I guess, because – as you talked about the time clock ticking, it's like a time bomb for most of us. And it's sort of like, well, we've got this window of opportunity where we have time to settle down and get married and have children. And then there's that time where the have children section just stops. And I think with a man, he can have children till he's 92. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
And I think what happens is women, that's a lot of time in a relationship with a man, be it dating or marriage. Once it's over, they tend to be bitter. It's not so much that they're bitter that it's over. It's like, I can't believe I wasted so many years of my life.
Right.
Men don't do
and,
that.
Well, I think it's all about perspective, right? So the biological clock thing does matter. It definitely matters. But it's really about perspective. So let me step back and tell you just a little bit of why I got into relationship coaching briefly. So went through some challenges in my own relationship. As I came out of that, what God did for me was he brought me other broken people that needed help and that were looking for assistance. Through working through that, I decided to write a book. Working through that, I decided to take coaching classes. I started feeling the gift being poured into me to want to serve and help other people. But the reason really behind that, I have two young girls. I have a 19-year-old and 11-year-old. And I really wanted to see my daughters not go through what I saw these other young ladies going through. And I want to see their friends not grow up and go through what I see these other young ladies going through. So, and I want to help those people at their level as well. So I went back and brought that up to say the challenge should be won before we ever get to that point. It shouldn't be a question of having an ultimatum, or it shouldn't be a question of, you know, it's 5 years, you walk into the living room, the guy's sitting back on the couch watching a football game, and you're like, look, I'm sick of this, what are you going to do? It should never get to that point. There should always be an open line of communication. There should be a realistic expectation set, and there should be some accountability on both parts. So if I don't see you taking steps to move forward, then we're going to talk about it. And if I still don't see you taking steps to move forward, I'm going to take steps to do what I need to do. That's what I want for my daughters, and that's what I want for other young women as well. I want us all to be, to start having healthier, successful relationships.
And that's very good. Now, somebody had made a comment to me the other day, and I'm not sure if this is something you can address, but I started to question it, and in some cases it's true, in some cases I believe it's not, but as a whole, if I had to say percentage-wise, I would say the larger percentage of it rests in the fact that people who seem to have come from two-parent families tend to be more structured in trying to maintain and keep and have a two-parent household family. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And it's so funny. It's so ironic that you bring that up. I was just talking about that today with someone discussing a young lady's situation and how she's so grounded and she doesn't have some of the challenges that other young women that we deal with in coaching have because she came from a two-parent household. I think that first relationship that a young woman has with her father is so important because that's the first man that she sees. That's the first man that she interacts with. That's the image of a man and how a man treats a woman. That's the first image and the most important image that she gets. So coming from a household where the father's in the household and where the mother's in the household, and seeing the household dynamic, so seeing both sides of the household, not just a single-parent household where, you know, if you're lucky, you get to go to your dad's or your mom's on the weekend, and they're not necessarily very happy with each other, but where you see the dynamic of, okay, there are challenges that they work through and they overcome together, and you also see the love in the household. So those people that get that love from a two-parent household, there is so much more structure in their life, and they strive to have those things. And I can see that not only in my clients, but I can see that in my peers. I can see that in my coworkers. I can see that played out all around me, everywhere in my life, and that's something that I want for those that I work with. That's a great point and a great topic to bring up.
I at first I was a little upset because we know that with anything is possible, and you see, I mean, you'll hear about it in the NFL and all kinds of sports. People say, "I only grew up with my mom, and you know, she struggled," and but you know, but then they come out and they have wonderful families.
Right.
But I think it's
right.
So much easier to emulate something that you already see and you're a part of, and then you have this family way about you that to you your family becomes the most important thing because you're accustomed to having your family.
Absolutely. And I'm a relationship coach and author and writer, but I also I dabble in other things. I write about sports and that type of thing, and I'm going to take a quick analogy just to make a really I think a important point on top of what you're saying. So there's a university in North Carolina called Duke University. They have a great basketball program. And Coach Mike Krzyzewski has a great team out there. They're always the number one, number two, three team in the country. The important point about Duke is when he recruits players, doesn't matter if they're black, doesn't matter if they're white, Puerto Rican, Mexican, none of that matters. He's looking for kids that can hold the grade and that they come from strong families. And then now these kids, when they come into school, they have structure. So it's nothing against coming from a single-parent home. I know lots of friends that come from single-parent homes and have done great. But these 17, 18, 19-year-old kids don't have some of the challenges that kids have coming from a single-parent home. And now that's one less thing that he has to overcome, and he builds winning programs. So the same thing goes, I think, in all facets of life. If we can build our kids from a place where they're emulating love and positivity and overcoming adversity together, it's just a natural progression that's going to continue to permeate throughout the generations. And that's what I'd love to see. I think that's what we call it here is a change in the family tree. That's what I want to see for a lot of relationships and people.
And I think, too, ironically enough, that we're actually working our way into Black History Month. I guess one of the key things that we focus on, too, is the structure of the family and the man that's not there, the man who has the children, who has left the children and has moved on with his life. And so you've got a mother and kids. And said, they don't have that father figure. And it's needed for both men and for women because, you know, I read something the other day that your child, a mother is always her son or daughter's first kiss. And there's something so deep about it, but I know even when I buried my father, I stood up at his funeral and told everybody that my dad was the first man I ever fell in love with.
Wow.
And it's true. I don't look at it that way, but when you think about it, that's who I learned what the man in my life should be based off of my father.
That's really powerful. Really what you said just speaks volumes, that your father was the first man that you ever fell in love with. And I would take it one step further, that in many ways your father teaches you how to love. He teaches you how to expect to receive love. He teaches you how a man loves a woman. That's really powerful.
If you have a dad who's loving and kind and you look up to him and you're in awe with him, and he is the one person who validates who you are. Because your mother will love you, but your father will always say to you, you're beautiful, you're precious, you're special, you're this. Your mom looks at that. She's going to say, I love you, you know. But
right.
Your validates the core of who you want to personify yourself to be in front of a man.
Absolutely. The relationship between a father and daughter is obviously different than the relationship between a mother and daughter. And I think that's so important in my relationship with my 11-year-old and my relationship with my 19-year-old to remember that I am the example that they will have as they move on and grow up and go into their relationship. So I try to keep that in mind even when we're going through rough times, even when I'm being a parent, I'm having to discipline them or chastise them or whatever it might be. I try to do those things in love because this is the example of a man that she's going to see, and it's really what she's going to take with her going forward. And I can see that not only with them, I know it's coming with them, but I can see that with my friends who reach out to men for other things because they didn't get that love at home from their father, or they felt like they weren't getting the love, or they weren't getting the time or the attention or whatever it may have been. So that's a really great point.
And I've heard it said by therapists that the fact of the matter is if you felt like you let down your dad or your dad was a letdown to you, you tend to go out into the world seeking approval from a male who you identify as your dad. And it sounds pretty far. It's a fact, because then what happens is you start to feel like, well, I need to make up for it. He never approved of me, so I have to get the man to approve of me. And so you spend more time looking for approval than feeling more confident in who you are.
So what I often say when I'm discussing with clients in coaching, so one of the things that we do in coaching is we help the client decide how they're going to design their own lives and their own situations. So they look within and they figure out what they want and what they need to do to get there. Counseling is a little bit different. You know, in counseling, you're trying to kind of look back and fix what's broken. Coaching, we want to see where you want to go and how you want to move forward. So with that said, oftentimes with the situations with women who are dealing with these issues where they want to, I guess, look for attention in a man or look for that validation in a man that they didn't get from their father, what I often talk to them about and what I try to get them to open up and see is, so the validation that you didn't get from your father, first of all, that validation really comes from your Heavenly Father. So that's one conversation that we want to have. But then there's another conversation that I also want them to get, that there's a validation simply in you being yourself and you being confident in yourself and you having your own self-esteem and having your own confidence and walking with your head held high and your shoulders back and knowing that you're a daughter of the Most High and that no matter what you didn't get at home, He's got something better for you. So there are two things. If you read any of my other things or anybody out there gets an opportunity to read things that I write around the web, whether it's on Black and Married with Kids or Paul C. Brunson or on my site, whatever it might be, I often talk about honor and I often talk about expectation. So I often talk to my clients about, so I want you to have an expectation of what you want. So if you want a husband that's going to treat you right and he's going to come home every night and he's going to hold you in a high regard and he's going to be the father of your children, he's going to be there, I want you to live in that expectation. I want you to go ahead and start thinking about what that's going to look like and speak that into existence and talk about that. And I feel like when I work with clients that do that, what they do is they build their self-esteem without really knowing that's what they're doing. And you start hearing a confidence in their voice and they start believing. And especially for those clients that are, that are Christian clients, they start believing and that faith starts just becoming powerful and it changes their lives. And really, I have very little, I would almost say nothing to do with it. They just start building that faith. It builds their confidence. And the next thing you know, they're living out those dreams and those desires.
I had heard about another author out there who talks about a lot of the healing that we have to go through in our relationship doesn't even begin with the other person. But once you get to the root of what is wrong with you, it makes you a whole person in the relationship. And I think that's what happens. We tend to go out there looking for our other half, per se, but we really have them as a whole, and that person has to be an additive and not become who you need to be to create
Absolutely.
That whole person. And that's
I could
the
not
problem.
Have said that better.
We don't.
That is so true. I still hear people talking about, well, I want to be, you know, this person, and I want to be, you know, I want to bring this to the table, and then this person will bring this to the table, and we'll become a whole. And I'm like, no, that's the wrong mindset. It has to be, you have to be complete in who you are. So while you're single, work on yourself. You know, if you want to get in shape, or if you, whatever the challenge is, if you want to run a marathon, or if you want to, it really doesn't matter what the thing is. Just do you, and build who you are,
right.
And build on what you are, and remember whose you are. So as you build those things, then God is going to place someone in your life at just the right time, who He has prepared for you, who has built those things, and now you work together. And as a friend of mine told me the other day, she's got someone like that in her life. She was saying that the world just is not ready for us. We can just take over the world. And that's the way you feel. I just recently got engaged, and that's the way I feel. We can just take over the world. So
yeah.
I think that point is so important.
It does. And I think one of the things that we have to remember, too, before we move into our next section, is we have to stop battling. We as people, and I can't say it from a male perspective, because as I told my stepson, I don't know how to be a man because I've never been one before. But I can speak about how a woman is. And the fact is, sometimes we will deal with Mr. Here and Now or Mr. Right Now, and we'll accept whatever we've got because we figure, well, at least it's better than being alone. And I think the day we decide to stop settling, like you said, we speak these things into our lives and into our own core, because as you become more confident and stronger, you start to understand your worth and your value. And so you no longer realize that you're not dollar store material.
Right.
You've got to
right.
stop going to the people shopping at the dollar store because you're overpriced. And
that's
so
right.
you have to start, when you start to know who you are and the value of your own worth, you tend to ooze that value and quality, and the price tag changes. And so men who shop at the dollar store start to realize they can't afford you. And I don't mean to pay for things for you, but the quality of the person you are. And then you'll start to attract more like-minded people. It's sort of like, you know how they say people judge you by the company you keep?
Absolutely.
It's the same. If you feel you're something special and you're still hanging out the sleazy, trashy clubs, well, you're only going to meet sleazy, trashy men who are hanging out. You've got
Absolutely.
To basically become who you know you're supposed to be and be around the quality of the people you need in your life. And then that's when it'll happen.
I totally agree. And I would take this a step further as well. So when you start to hold yourself in a different with a different value than how you've held yourself before, so just as you said, you know, you don't hang in the different in the same places, you probably don't even hang around the same people. It's probably a good idea as well. But mm-hmm. when you change how you feel about yourself, it radiates. It shows
yeah.
on your face. It shows in how you walk. It shows in how you talk. And now people start to gravitate towards you that are attracted to how you act now. So as opposed to being depressed or despondent or always, you know, I can't get a man, or I wish I could get a man. I don't know why, you know, and then hating on someone else. I don't understand why she keeps getting a man, but I can't get one, or whatever the challenge is.
Yeah.
Look. Praise her situation. Be happy that sister has a man. Now you step up and you do what you need to do, and God will put the right man for you at the right time, in the right place, because you're ready. Because right now you're not ready. Even if he gave you the right man, that might be the worst thing in the world for you, because he would look at you and say, you're not ready. You're not for me, not right now. So that's value is such a key component, and I'll say one more thing here along this line of discussion. As a relationship coach, my clients, almost 100% of them that are single, I don't really talk to people that are for example dating and bring their dating partner, whatever you would call them, into their boyfriend or girlfriend, I guess, for lack of a better term, even though we're over 30, at least I'm over 30. And so they don't have conversations and coaching conversations with their boyfriend or girlfriend. They have them by themselves, and that's because they're trying to figure out what they can do better, going back to you talking about settling, what they can do better to have a better situation, have better things going forward. But what they really don't see, if they step back and look, is that when they come to me, they don't come to me with someone that they're settling with, though that may be the case. They always come to me alone, and because the challenge is in them. But when they, when they see the challenge and when they see that they can make the change and when they see that if they allow God to help them make the change, that accelerates the process so much faster, that the world can be, I mean, it just looks differently. I say this often when I get up. I say the grass is a little bit greener, the air is a little bit fresher, the sun's a little bit brighter. It's going to be a great day just because of the way I feel. Nothing's different.
Right.
It's just the way I feel, and I see that in my clients as well.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to you Together by Reuben Studdard as we get together, and now we're going to follow up with that and continue our discussion with Jay Hurt, relationship coach here on the Pastor Jay Rouse Show, as we now discuss the topic of actual relationships, husbands and wives and family, coming up after Together by Reuben Studdard.
Just stay together. Baby, you're the one I'm waiting.
if we could just stay together. We're here live on the Pastor J. Rouse Show, courtesy of Rouse Ministry Broadcasting and Communications. You may also want to check out our Facebook page, but we have the pleasure and the honor of being live on air this evening with Jay Hurt, a relationship coach, and I'm just enjoying this very much. And we certainly want to make sure we can try and bring him back and maybe put him on one of our panels when we have one of our hot right on point hot topics. I can see that he would really do some damage for us and bring his mind. So, Jay, let's say now we've got some engaged couples or some healthy couples. They're not sitting here going, okay, well, there's a time frame and ultimatums. They're in a wonderful relationship, or we've got a wonderful married couple. What is the key? And this is ironic because I believe you have a book that says, what is it? It's the 9 tenets of a successful relationship.
Correct. So I love talking about healthy couples. It's so much more of a fun topic. So the first thing I think when we're talking about healthy couples is that we often begin to take one another for granted. So it's really, really important to do a couple things that help to alleviate that from happening. The first one I think is to continue to date throughout the relationship. This is something that we can so not only is it tangible, but it's something that we can remind ourselves to do. So if it's to whatever the opportunity may be, if it's simply to have, you know, a date once a week, every Friday night or every Saturday night, or even if it's something very what some of us might think of as mundane, if it's going to the farmer's market together, or if it's you know, literally walking through the park or walking around the neighborhood or whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it's important to go out, to have a good time, and to enjoy each other's company outside of the kids and the household and the bills and the things that we start to build a routine around. We have to break that routine and that monotony, because I think there's a looking for the right word here. There's a health in the relationship that we have when we really enjoy each other's time and each other's company. And we have so many things in our lives that can bring us down. We have so many challenges and so much adversity that shows up on a daily basis that we can get caught up in all of that, and all we want to do is go to work and go to bed and just take care of those little things that we have to take care of in between time. But if we make it a point to say every week or every few days or whatever, I'm going to take time out of my work schedule. It doesn't matter what my work schedule is. It doesn't matter what else is going on with the kids. You are the most important thing in my life, and I'm going to take time and make time for you so we can date and we can enjoy each other.
The famous date night.
The famous date night, but I would even take it a step further to say that, you know, like I said, it doesn't really have to be. It doesn't have to be a traditional or a conventional date. It can be going over to a friend's house and playing spades or dominoes, or just sitting around with some other adults and having some adult conversation, talking about relationships, doing any number of things. So it doesn't have to be a movie and dinner. It can be something very non-traditional, but the important point is the spending time, the quality time. One of the five love languages is quality time, and whether or not that's our dominant love language, I don't think it matters as much as the fact that we are making it a point to say to our significant other, you're important to me, and I want to show you that on a consistent basis, no matter what else is going on in our lives.
That's where that topic you were talking about with the word honor, because I had mentioned several times on air about my uncle, their age. And one day we were somewhere, and it was cute because nobody was really paying attention, but they were holding. And I noticed it, and I giggled. was the cutest thing. And they looked like teenagers. And I was kind of shocked at that age that, you know, they would just kind of casually stand there. And at first it started out with pink youth. And then the next, you know, their fingers were entwined. And then the next, you know, they were holding hands. And I thought,
oh, wow.
And I tapped my mom and kind of showed it to her. And we both giggled. And I went over and I was teasing them. And they got a little embarrassed and blushed. But it was so lovely to see. And they've been married for so many years. And I thought, this is an example of love. Because they're not just, you get some people that they say, oh, well, you know, after the body goes and everything doesn't look the same, that the passion isn't the same, but it's still your best friend. But you can see these two weren't just best friends, that they still were in love.
Right.
And I think that's the thing. We've got to keep fires burning, and it doesn't always have to be a physical thing, but there's got to be that little extra over that friendship that makes that bit of a difference into that line of love.
Absolutely. Another point that's very important for healthy relationships to remain healthy is to remember that. So love is a verb. It's something that we do. It's really an action word. And dating, going out on a date night is something that we do, but it's, you know, it's sporadic. It can be consistent, but it still doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen all the time. It's going to be, you know, weekly, monthly, whatever it may be. Hopefully more often than monthly. That's how we make healthy relationships unhealthy. But so what we want to do very consistently, on a very consistent basis, and this goes for men and women, is to show appreciation to one another. So I don't think there's nothing that I've seen more in the healthy relationships that I have witnessed, in the healthy relationships that I've worked with, which were few, other than the appreciation that two people show for one another. I'll give you an example. I know a young lady who she was going out with her girlfriends, and she took her I don't know how the situation occurred. It's kind of weird, but she took her boyfriend out and with them. And the girlfriends were man-bashing. I think I actually speak of this in the book. Girlfriends were man-bashing. And you know, so everybody kind of went around the table, and everybody's taking their turn. And then the one young lady with her boyfriend there, she could have had the opportunity to bash him as well, but what she did was she talked about, she said, well, I understand what you guys are going through. I do. But he does this for me, and he does this for me, and he buys me flowers, and he does little things for me that I'm not even sure if he notices, but I'm going to point them out now. So she had nothing but great, not good things, but great things to say about him. And that appreciation that she showed to him is something that he never forgot, and it's something that we can all do on a daily basis. So if it's something small, like give an example, if someone else does the laundry, but there's a time where they can't take the clothes out of the dryer and hang the clothes up, but that's what they always do. It's just become the routine, and you go and do it. That means so much to the other party. Or whatever the routine, quote-unquote, mundane thing may be, just always showing appreciation and remembering that the little things we do mean a lot. And I think that goes even double for women, because often women really love men who pay attention to the details. And if we show that we're paying attention to the details and we're showing that appreciation, they will come back and appreciate us as well.
Well, they say there's nothing sexier than a man who does dishes.
I can't speak to that.
The other thing, too, because the thing is, we are busy. We are very busy, and, you know, we're in a modern-day society where men and women both work hard, and it's very hard for a woman to be romantic and to be passionate and to fuss over her man when she's exhausted. But when the man can actually help to ease off some of that pressure, you should see how happy she will be.
Exactly.
So,
very much so.
Is there anything that you want to tell us that we can, where we can find you? I've got some links that we're posting and promoting for you. Anything you want to add here for us?
Well, I'll just add that my blog is at jhurt.net. I think you have the link to that. You have my Twitter handle and my Facebook page. I also write for blackandmarriedwithkids.com, where you found this article, and I also write for policybrunson.com. Mm-hmm. And I write for policybrunson.com, who is a.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear the name of it.
Yeah, it's paulcbrunson.com. So he's a matchmaker here in the States, and write for his blog as well. You'll find me on several other sites as I've done other freelance stuff around the web. Hopefully, I'll be in Canada at some point, and we'll get a chance to get together. I love everything about the great country of Canada. I've been on a few shows there, and I love the fact that you guys appreciate my work. So thank you very much.
Oh no, thank you very much for joining us, and we thank you for taking an opportunity out of your busy schedule. And I know we're on different time zones slightly too, so. But I'm really appreciative. Thank you. I hope you will come back again and join us. We'll have some more hot topics and some other things that I'm sure we can have your input on. So we just thank you. And, you know, God bless you and your relationship, because you've got some new things going on in your life. Yeah.
I do. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, and I'll be glad to come back. Thank you so much.
And that God would continue to bring you in the gift that he's give you, that's so unique and special, but more importantly, not just for the building of the kingdom, but the families that are supposed to go there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everyone, this is God is Love and Jay Hurt, and we'll be right back. And JB Sachs.
So you say you want a man that'll be there to the very end, never holding you up, kind of man that God can send. Someone that won't put pressure on you, regardless of what you've been through. The kind of man that can and will take care of you. Help me out. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is a part of life's coming. Just look around and you will find that God is love. Can you picture a love that never dies? It gets stronger, bringing tears of joy in your eyes. A love so strong, all you have to do is call his name. One touch from the hem of his garment and you'll never be the same. Oh no, love is patient, love is kind. Love is a part of life's time. Just look around and you'll find that God is love. A man with great love and stability, showing no signs of hate or insecurity. A man who won't be bored or tired of you, remind you that his love is true, by whispering sweet nothings in your ear like you can do it, boo. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is a part of a lifetime. Just look around and you'll find yes, God is love. Wouldn't it be nice if every man was this way? Even though you're so sad of weakness, he lets you know that it's okay, it's okay. Wouldn't it be nice to put your trust in a man like this? When two are gathered together, there he is in the midst. What kind of love is this? Love is patient, love is kind. Love is a part of a lifetime. Just look around and you will find that God is love. God is love. When all hope is lost, he died for you and me. Yes, he paid the cost. God is love. When you're feeling down, God is love. When nobody's around, God is love. In sickness and in pain, God is love. Sunshine and rain, God is love. When you feel like nobody understands you, God is love. His love will take you to more love.
Love is patient. Love,
oh, love. Oh,
love. Love is a part of a lifetime.
Yeah, my body's strength with me.
Love is patient. Love is kind.
Everybody's strength with me.
Amen. God is love, and I did mean it when I told you that Jesus loves you and so do I. And just remember, and even Jay even repeated that and said, once you know who you are and whose you are, then guess what? You are most precious in his sight, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise, and certainly don't let anyone treat you otherwise, because you are important. Because is a living God. Well, we had a wonderful show. We want to thank Jay Hurt. God bless him and all he does. And join us next week as we get even more excited with Dave Brown. And we have the wonderful Jermaine Cowan. And more new music and so much, much, much more as we dive into Valentine's Day. So God be with you until we meet again.
Lay down, my dear brother, lay down and take your rest. I want to lay your head upon your Savior's bed. I love you, but Jesus loves you better. I bid you good night, good night, good night. One of these morning, early, bright in the sun, good night.
Understand.